Lecture 33, Venice and Genoa.
In this lecture, I wish to deal with the Italian merchant republics of Venice and Genoa, both of which emerged from the position of being privileged communities at the end of the 12th century in both the Byzantine Empire and Outre-mer, and came out of the Third and Fourth Crusades as essentially seaborne commercial empires. And the success of Genoa and Venice really outstripped all the other maritime republics who were involved in the crusading movement. When I talked earlier about development of trade in the 12th and early 13th century, I made a good deal of reference to the Pisans, the Amalfians, Barcelona, Marseille. By 1300, unquestionably the Genoese and the Venetians even more than the Genoese, have attained a position which is really quite beyond comparison. Venice emerges as a city-state, a Byzantine city-state with a commercial empire and a great fleet. There's only one other power, to my knowledge, in the history of the Mediterranean, a city-state that emerges a great naval power. That's Athens in the 5th century BC. And Venice and Athens have a great deal in common as commercial empires go. And as I mentioned, a lot of this had to do with the consequences of the Third Crusade, and particularly the sack of Constantinople in 1204 and the subsequent Latin rule in Constantinople down to 1261. These were important events, turning points in the history of the two cities, and are a good deal of the success of Genoa and Venice as a result of their participation in these crusades. By the end of the 13th century, by the end of this lecture, 1291, when Acre is finally captured by the Mamluks, Venice and Genoa together, both cities would be essential for the launching of any new crusades, and they're certainly not at all inclined to do so. The Venetians and Genoese will both battle the Ottoman Turks, they will battle Muslim powers, they'll battle pirates, but the notion of conveying Western European armies to the Holy Land to capture Jerusalem, to battle the whatever the Muslim power is that controls the holy cities, this is no longer of interest to either of the republics. And there really isn't any other option to find other fleets. The Venetians and the Genoese are the only two states who really have the fleets that could support such an overseas venture, especially since overland crusades are no longer a possibility. And that's an important event, and I always like to stress to my students that in many ways the success of these two great commercial powers, changing attitudes that accompanied it, that is the substitution of business and profits for honor and victory on the battlefield, those were probably, in the long term, far more detrimental to the crusading spirit than any kind of Islamic resurgence under Saladin, because it ultimately did in the means of conveying those armies, financing those armies to the Holy Land. So with that in mind, let's look at the changing commercial patterns and political patterns resulting from the Third and Fourth Crusade that put Venice and put Genoa in the forefront. And that requires us to remember a couple of important points I stressed in earlier lectures. One is when the crusading ventures started out in 1096, when the First Crusade departed east, there were a number of possible commercial powers who could participate in this venture. And as the kings of Jerusalem began to reduce the ports of the Levantine shore, many of these maritime republics appeared with their fleets and offered their services. Pisa was one such important player, and in fact, the Archbishop of Pisa, Daimbert, who is leading the Venetian, the Pisan fleet, managed to get himself elected Patriarch of Jerusalem. However, as the 13th century progresses, increasingly the Genoese and Venetians appear as the primary naval powers. And there's several reasons why this was so. Genoa and Venice both had several advantages that the other cities did not. For one, they were both in protected areas on the Italian shore. Venice was built on the lagoons. It actually claims descent, the Venetians claim descent from the old Roman colony of Aquileia, and that in the time of Attila the Hun that they had fled and to the islands and to the lagoons and built that city there. And Venice had never been under the political authority of any of the Western European rulers. Charlemagne, the Ottonian emperors, partially it was under the shield of Byzantine protection. It was part of the Byzantine world, but also the city was protected. by the lagoons and the islands. It was impossible to take that city unless you had a fleet of your own, and you were willing to besiege this city and eventually starve it into submission. This was beyond the efforts of any of the Western European monarchs. So Venice enjoyed a very secure independence.